Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Gaudente Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Very well. And to all of our listeners, well into the Advent season, very happy Advent to you as well. So happy Sunday.
The rose-colored vestments are worn, and the rose-colored candle on the Advent wreath is lit today as we now prepare to hear today's gospel reading.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light, and this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "Who are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said to them, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" As Isaiah the prophet said, some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we mentioned at the beginning of the program, today is Gaudente Sunday, and Gaudente is the Latin word for rejoice. And that is the reason why the rose-colored candle on the Advent wreath is lit and the rose-colored vestments are worn by the celebrants at Holy Mass today.
Right. And it's, you know, this happens also in Lent when we call it Laetare Sunday. It was kind of to be glad. And I think it's a reminder to all of us that in any life of conversion, that it's not all gloom and doom, you know, because our whole life is a conversion, and it's a journey of life. And so as we practice prayer and penance, reconciliation, sacraments, etc., that there also needs to be this note of joy and rejoicing, because it reminds us of the reason, not to just use one of these little phrases that's the reason for the season, but the reason for the season is joy. And I think some of our Christmas hymns will certainly speak of that joy, and the Advent hymns even. But my point is that we can take things overly dramatic in our life, and certainly, to be a person of faith is to also be a person of joy. As we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare for the celebration of the Lord's birth, we have to remember that the ultimate gift there is to be joyful, because we have received a gift. So this Sunday, called Gaudete Sunday, is just in the midst of the purple vestments, in the midst of perhaps a call to conversion from ourselves, from the church, that there's also this note of great joy, that the reason we do all of this is to rejoice in the gift of God's Son who comes to us, and we celebrate at Christmas time.
Now for a little bit of context for today's gospel reading from St. John. Now during Advent, The second and third Sundays focus on John the Baptist, who, of course, was the lone voice in the desert, the forerunner to Christ, who announced to Israel, "Make straight the way of the Lord."
Right. It's always a call to conversion, and John the Baptist was that one chosen by God to be the forerunner whenever there was a prophet or someone with good news. Someone would come before to almost prepare the people to kind of a heads up, you know, listen. Or I'm sure I don't know if this is a good analogy, but I think some of these talk shows that you see, there's I remember years ago I went to one when I was in New York City. I got tickets with some friends of mine when I was in college, and on the Johnny Carson show, and we went, and oh my gosh, you know, they come out beforehand, they get everybody all riled up. So when he walks out, you're just screaming and like, you know, I wouldn't say that was the job of a forerunner, but at least it was to point the way, to prepare the person. And it's so beautiful here how John says with such humility that I am not the Christ, you know, that he came so that people might believe through him, not believe in him. And that's something for us, I think, this Advent season to remind ourselves as well, is that we don't substitute the messenger for the message or the messenger for the one who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Sometimes we get caught up in the personality of the person bringing the message, and we forget the messenger, and forget the one who brings the message, which is Jesus right. himself. So John the Baptist was one of those who was on the forefront, preparing the way, talking to people about the coming of Christ, but was in the background, was ready to move off, to pull away, so that he did not interfere with the message. And I think for us, speaking for myself and us as priests and those who are give homilies and teach, we have to be like John the Baptist is a good model for us to communicate the message, but to realize we are not the message. We are not the one who has brought the message, and we are here simply as a forerunner to the person of Jesus Christ.
Of course, there was such a closeness between John the Baptist and Jesus before they were even born, because Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. And when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, when she was expecting John the Baptist, the baby leapt in her womb. Spirit, recognizing spirit.
Yeah, for example, is what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago about a self-reflection, that meaning comes from within. And we see in that encounter with Mary and Elizabeth that the baby leapt in her womb. It expresses a deep inner life, that there was more sensitivity to the interior life. For Elizabeth and for Mary, and obviously even in the womb, John the Baptist, that there's a sensitivity to God, which I think we have to be careful that we don't lose as we surround our life, cloud our life, bombard our life with so much noise and so many distractions and so many things, that it's hard for us to even appreciate a scene like that, that a baby leaping in the womb of its mother at the presence of the one that he would ultimately serve. But when we think of it in terms of the spiritual life and the purity of that spiritual life, without the distractions and the bombardments and the clouds of things that we put into our life, there is a greater sensibility, because there's a greater ability to listen from within, in that interior side. So John the Baptist is that forerunner, both in his life but also in his mother's womb, already signaling that there's a new era coming to bring the message of God's love and reconciliation and forgiveness.
As you mentioned before, Bishop, John the Baptist embodied humility.
Yes, and I think, you know, just his whole demeanor is one that speaks of that, just the type of person he was. I'm not sure I'd want to be around him that much, personally. Love the desert, very austere kind of life. And of course, we have to take that in context of his time and his days and his own credibility. And I think much of that expression that we find in the Gospels about his person, where he fed on locusts and honey and lived in the desert, was really to interiorly prepare himself to bring the message, because it would not be one that was readily welcomed. So it's not a matter of being a friend of his or not, but to realize John's call was to prepare himself interiorly to receive the message and then communicate the message. And basically, I think if we look at it, this is what Advent is about, for us to do the same, to intensify our preparation to be able to celebrate Christmas not as an annual celebration of all the niceties that go around it, but to truly focus on that child in the manger. This child is a gift to me, and as I look into this child's eyes, I see myself. God's gift, or God's intention for me, to call me to be another Christ today. And that takes an interior preparation, an interior awareness, which John himself prepared himself to announce to others.
Our Shepherd's View will continue.
Awakening 8 is a three-day retreat presented by the Newman Center of Texas A&M University Corpus Christi, which invites all currently enrolled college students of the diocese to this event at the Pax Christi Retreat Center, 4601 Cal Allen Drive, near Five Points. Attendees can experience a life transformation of God and community. Retreat dates are February 9th through 11th. Financial aid is available to help cover the modest fee. For more information, including how and where to register, call 361-813-3899.
You are invited to join the Knights of Columbus for a rosary procession to ask our Blessed Mother for her powerful intercession for peace in our homes, our nation, and in our world. It begins the first Saturday of each month with a gathering in front of Corpus Christi Cathedral at 11 a.m., then processing to the Mother Teresa shelter, and then return. For more information on this powerful praying event, call Douglas at 608-346-2462.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this Gaudete Sunday. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And before the break, we were discussing the humility of John the Baptist and how he was the forerunner, his role in helping prepare the world for the arrival of Jesus. And there are parts of this week's gospel that talk about that directly.
Yeah, the one that I really like, and it's toward the end, where John says, the one who is coming after me, or there's one among you that you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. So I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his sandal strap as a slave would maybe do, or a servant would do as the master returned home. That's an incredible statement of humility. And when you think about it, and what we were talking about earlier of John leaping in the womb of his mother Elizabeth when Mary arrived in their presence, something happened and stirred in John. Plus, you know, saying, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not the Christ, but maintain that same spirit of self-awareness, which is embedded in self-humility or in humility, that John was not trying to promote himself at any time. I immediately thought of the book of Genesis when Moses is in front of the burning bush and hears the Lord say, remove your sandals because you're on holy ground. Again, I guess a kind of a theme for me this Advent is that sense of awareness of who we are in front of God. So many times, because God is pushed away, eliminated in some parts of our society, that we have lost any sensitivity to the sacred. There's nothing sacred in many people's awareness of reality. There's nothing sacred. It's all profane. It's all what's natural. And that's because there's no faith. And so when faith is eliminated, when God is eliminated, Nothing is sacred. We see this in the many, over the past years, how many people have been shot or bombarded or bombs in different parts of the world, in our own country. It's because we have are the many thousands, millions of abortions. We have no sense of what is sacred, that life is sacred because it's a gift from God. My neighbor is sacred because they're a child of God. A person who is poor or needy is the face of Jesus Christ, sacred. Whatever you do, the least you've done to me. So this sense of the sacred is being lost. And Advent is a kind of time also to re-enkindle that in myself, in all of us. And seeing John the Baptist in this gospel today brings attention to that thing, of that very theme that John said, I'm not worthy to untie his sandal strap. A tremendous sense of being in the presence of Jesus Christ, the sacred, the Holy One. And, you know, this is that sense of the sacred. I think if anyone is out there thinking, well, how can I recuperate, or how can I have a deeper awareness or sensitivity to the sacredness of life, the sacredness of living in this world today? And I think we could ask for it. And why? Because that sense of sacredness comes from one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is fear of the Lord. That may seem like a big stretch to come from Advent and go to the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we speak about at Pentecost. But in reality, John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit, Mary, filled with the Spirit, Elizabeth, under the inspiration of the Spirit, obviously were living in one way or another those gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is fear of the Lord, which means, of course, the ultimate respect, the ultimate reverence for the divine. As I mentioned earlier, to eliminate faith, to eliminate God, is to eliminate the sensitivity to the divine, to things that are sacred, to God who is sacred. But the fear of the Lord, that gift, is this total respect and total awe in front of God. And I think as we prepare for the birth of Jesus, nothing should give us greater pause, greater reverence, greater awe than the fact that the divine nature, God, would humble himself to the point of becoming a human being. The mystery of what we call the incarnation, the incarnate Word of God, who has come to live among us. That is a stooping, a coming, a humbling of self from the divine to the human. St. Irenaeus would say that he became what we are so that we can become what he is. The divine becoming human so that what is human can become divine. That's God's action. And that's the action as a gift of the Holy Spirit, to have this tremendous fear of the Lord. Or another way to put it is to not see that God is my buddy. You know, mm-hmm. We seem to reduce everything to the lowest common denominator today. So that everybody can identify. Well, the human person needs what is sacred. The human person needs what is beyond him or herself. We need the divine. We need God. And the gift of fear of the Lord, the gift of this reverence for God, the reverence for who is sacred and holy alone is holy, is a gift from God himself in the Holy Spirit to give us that gift of the fear of the Lord. So I would just say it would be an opportunity during this Advent as we prepare for the celebration of the Lord's birth to ask for that particular gift, the gift of the fear of the Lord, to have a deep, deep reverence for God's presence in our life, God's presence in the world, even though it seems to be stifled and in different times, but it's there, and that we as his followers, as his disciples, really focus on giving God the reverence, the respect, the love that is due him as our God and creator.
Thank you, Bishop. And I would like to take this time to mention that we are in the octave before Christmas, that the old antiphons are usually said, and they hold a tremendous amount of history.
Right. Yeah, these are antiphon, of course, is the introductory verses that introduce the psalms that we recite at Mass after the readings, or as we say, the Liturgy of the Hours in the morning and the evening. Especially, we have two. In the morning, we say the Canticle of Zechariah, which is the Benedictus, or Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. So the verse that Zechariah sang in the temple. But also in the evenings, there's the Canticle of Mary, the Magnificat, My Soul Proclaims the Greatness of the Lord. So these O antiphons go back to the 8th century, and they are the antiphons that introduce the Magnificat in the evening prayers from December 17th to the 23rd. They conjure up, they bring up the ancient biblical imagery that announce really the coming of the Messiah. So it's very messianic in its announcement, and really brings about a longing for the Messiah to come. And so, for example, if we want to just focus on a couple of them, on the very first one on December 17th in the evening prayer, O wisdom of our God Most High, guiding creation with power and love, come to teach us the path of knowledge. So with each one of these, there is a proclamation of God's wisdom, or God who is the root of Jesse. But in each one of them, it's an invitation. We know who you are. You are the wisdom of the God Most High. You are the key of David. O radiant dawn, come. And so there's a mission there. So it's a proclamation and then an invitation. So if we took the next one, December 18th, O leader of the house of Israel, giver of the law of Moses on Sinai, come to rescue us with your mighty power. The next day, O root of Jesse's stem, sign of God's love for all people, come to save us without delay. O key of David, opening the gates of God's eternal kingdom, come and free the prisoners of darkness. O radiant dawn, splendor of eternal light, sun of justice, come and shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. O King of the nations and keystone of the church, come and save man whom you have formed from the dust. And finally, O Emmanuel, O our King and giver of law, come to save us, Lord our God. What a beautiful tradition, you know, for Advent to announce these ancient titles, these ancient understandings of the Messiah, and then as we grow closer and closer to the day of the Lord's birth, we keep pleading, come, come, come and be our Savior. So that's not something that goes back 2,000 years. It's something that, again, from the interior of our life, we want to say today, come, teach us knowledge, come with your mighty power, come without delay, come and free us from our darkness, come and give us the light that shines in our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus Christ.
And for anyone who wants to find out more, a great resource is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website, known as usccb.org. They have a whole section on the Advent season, and that is where you will find these antiphons that we talked about, and much more to reflect on. Again, lots of great resources on that website, usccb.org.
And those of us that are 65 and older will have a harder time finding them, but go to your 12-year-old son or nephew or grandchild, and they'll find it for you very quickly.
Thank you, Bishop. If you would now please end with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who see how your people faithfully await the feast of our Lord's Nativity, enable us, we pray, to attain the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate them always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
The annual Silver and Gold Wedding Anniversary Mass celebration in the Diocese of Corpus Christi will be the focus on Sunday, February 12th at the 9:30 a.m. Cathedral Mass in Corpus Christi Cathedral. Those blessed with celebrating 25 or 50 years of sacramental marriage are invited to attend this special Mass with Bishop Michael Mulvey presiding. A light reception will follow in St. Joseph Hall beneath the cathedral. Although the Mass is for everyone, in order to receive an anniversary certificate, please register by February 2nd at diocesecc.org/anniversary-mass-registration. If you don't have a computer, don't remember the URL, or don't know how to use a computer, or just want to call in your information, call Heath Garcia at the Diocese Chancery Office, 361-882-6191.
Quinceañera, a wonderful celebration and opportunity for a 15-year-old girl to reflect on the presence of God in her life. It's a time of deepening and anchoring her faith, a time of dialogue with family and Christ, a time to learn to be strong in the surrounding secular world. It's also a time to help her build strong foundations for her future to help her stay on the path to holiness. The Quince One-Day Retreat Prep Course, held at Most Precious Blood Church in Corpus Christi, will address these needs by offering a spiritual and moral formation course to help her achieve the desired goals. To register and get more information on the next Quinceañera Prep Retreat, set for February 3rd, call Tina Villegas, 361-854-3800.